Corinthians chapter 1 this morning and verse 10. Years ago, we bought a house in beautiful Lake Mead. We bought that house from a rather odd family. Rather than moving everything out at once, they said, we'll be back and we'll make sure we'll get the rest of our stuff as soon as we can. Well, they came back and came back and came back, and they were taking things that we thought we had purchased along with the house. Believe it or not, they actually took the toilet paper off of the roll and the light bulbs out of the fixtures. And so after a while, we had to say, you know what? We're done here. It's ours. It's our property now. If you come back again, you'll be trespassing. We just have to restrict that. And one of the final items was a wood stove that they had said hadn't gone along with the sale, said it didn't belong to them, belonged to a brother, and so on. And they had set it in the backyard. And so after a while, I called and said, look, if you don't come and get the stove, we're going to confiscate it. It's going to be our stove after this. And so they came and they moved it 10 feet to the left. And I called them back and I said, why did you move the stove 10 feet to the left? They said, well, it's no longer on your property. It's now on the property line. Mending fences has become a metaphor for repairing broken or stressed relationships, playing off that old saying, fences make for good neighbors. And like property lines, relationships need boundaries. For some people, it seems like you have to go to great lengths to define everything that you're saying and how this thing's going. If we are going to remain friends, if we are going to even stay civil, we need to be on the same planet. We need to define some terms here so we're speaking the same language. Okay, here's how it's going to be from now on. Can't keep being as it was. Something has to give, something has to change. And when we're negotiating these property lines, these relationship boundaries, it can be a little unsettling, it can be a little tense. What you and I see as very clear and obvious is completely foreign to how someone else has been raised to think, even though we indeed are on the same planet. For some of us, we need to figure out how we're going to get along. Doesn't come natural. And that's common. You go to a new job, you move into a new neighborhood, someone else marries into the family, or you marry into another family. Wow, it's amazing how different people are. Can you say amen to that? Have you run into any different people? Have you ever wondered, how could the person I married be so normal and come from that? And you know how they always caution you when you're young, you don't marry a person, you marry a family. And you think, oh no, I'm marrying a person. I digress here. In the church, we're family. And talk about different backgrounds. We need to figure out how to get along. A lot of us have learned how to avoid others, but we need to do better than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Father, are you serious? We really need your help. We really need your help, Lord God, with this verse of Scripture, with this concept of God. Melt away our hardnesses. Help us, Lord, to be more moldable. Blend us together to be the brew that you are working on, that we could give off the aroma of Christ. In our, so often, God, churches just plain stink. They're not comfortable to be in. And in their neighborhoods or in their communities, they've got a bad reputation because of poor attitude, just like in Corinth. Lord, today come. You are our sweetener. You are the thing that makes us right. Help us, Lord, to be blended together more completely and to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I read this text and I thought, dude, do you know what you're asking? You're looking at a group of people, a group being more than two, agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Anybody here ready to say, my marriage is there? Just the two of us. Why, the two of us, we agree with one another on every subject you can imagine. There are no divisions among us. We are perfectly united in mind and thought. One gets hungry, the other heads for the refrigerator. It's just, let alone a group of several hundred people coming together for a cause. And then I thought, well, it's Scripture. Must be right. It's the Apostle Paul writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that, church, this is who we're supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to be like. In fact, it's the essential work of any church intending to accomplish its purpose in Christ, as Ray had mentioned a moment ago. Last week we talked about God brought together a church to plant a church. He brought together Paul and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Aquila and Priscilla and Luke and several others. And this was a church already that moved into this area so that they could grow a church. Corinth didn't have one, and no single guy could do it on his own. No couple would be enough to accomplish the work. They would soon be swallowed up by this task of trying to church in Corinth. So he planted a church so that it would grow a church. And now this church in Corinth, if it was going to do the job, there had to be unity. There had to be love. There had to be purpose. They had to be on the same page. Unity is the foundation for any successful venture. And conversely, disunity causes cracks and division. Left untended, those cracks would widen and break apart what is supposed to be whole. It would leave a disgrace rather than glory unto the Lord. I remember Tony Evans giving a illustration one time that in his home there were cracks in between where the wall met the ceiling in his bedroom. And so he called a plasterer in, and the guy smoothed them all over. It looked really great for a while, and then there were cracks again. So he hired a different guy. This guy did the same job, and it really looked nice, and pretty soon cracks appeared again. So he hired a third guy. Third guy came in and he looked at it and he said, the problem isn't the plaster, the problem is your basement. Your house is still settling, it's not solid yet. Until you get your basement fixed, you can patch that all you want, but the cracks are going to come back. Basement repairs cost an awful lot more than patching the plaster. But until they got the basement right, the house wasn't right. And there are a lot of churches with cracks in their basement. Our basement isn't properly set on the rock, on the foundation. Oh, we get started there. We only became part of the church because of what Christ did in us. But sometimes a little distance gets between us and Christ, and we've lost that first love. We've lost that intimacy with God and other things, other issues. And you can see it all the time. It's common church experience. We come in and we've got a heart for God, but then we begin to take care of the business of the church. And it doesn't matter what your area of responsibility is, there are responsibilities to take care of. You got to be here on time, and there are issues with this, and there are problems with that, and then there are people to schedule, and of course somebody always forgotten, so you got to fill in for this, and you get all caught up in what needs to happen. And pretty soon you become pretty businesslike in whatever your area of service is. You teach a class, you organize this, you take care of that. And it can even get to the point where you used to say, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Who can't wait to go and worship the King? Hallelujah. But then it gets to the point where, oh no, it's church again, isn't it? Oh, I got to see so-and-so about this, and I got to take care of that. And I bet they didn't do this like they said they were going to. I better take extra just in case. And we can get all caught up in the business end of the church. And then while we're taking care of our business and they're taking care of their business, it can come in conflict with one another and say, hey, you scheduled that on the date I wanted. And we can, it can begin, these cracks begin to form, and we become about the organization rather than about the Lord. And if that's who we become, then there should be cracks. There should be damage. Problem is, it usually divides the church and everybody goes their separate ways, and everybody's got a story to tell that's absolutely true. Did you hear what they said? Did you see what they did? And they did say this and they did do that. Or they failed over here, or they failed over there. But the foundation is the problem. Somewhere in there, I lost what church was all about. From time to time, I run into somebody who used to pastor, and now they no longer attend church. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? It's wrenching to us. Larry Dentler, who filled in for me a couple Wednesday nights ago, they had a youth pastor for you. A young man came to know the Lord, was all excited, got some credentials, was studying, going to become a pastor, became a youth pastor for a little while. And oh, when he got in that grind of people being disappointed about this and expecting that and so on and so forth, he no longer even attends church. His wife will still come from time to time and say, please pray for him. There's a wound. There's a bitterness. There's a problem. Can we be human enough this morning to confess we are all susceptible to this? Church can be church, or church can become something other. And every once in a while, although we're always calling people to come closer and to get involved, and there ought to be a joy about our service. No one's service will be completely joyful without difficulties, without hiccups along the way. But if we're grinding to a halt, if we're angry at others, if we're maybe we need to just take a vacation from our duties for a while and just come and worship. From time to time, we have a family from another church that will join us, and that's exactly what they need to do for us. They need a season. We've had couples come, families come for a while, not because they're looking for a new church, just because they need to de-stress from church for a little while. They need to come. They don't want to get to know us. they don't want to get involved. Nothing personal. Like you, but stay away. I'm just here to heal. I'm just, and You're welcome. God bless you. Hope you find that healing. And God bless you for staying with church, that you haven't given up on it all. Which one of us hasn't felt like that a time or two? You know what? It's too hard. Don't need it. Charles Stanley's still on television. I can now download a lot of great teaching. Wow. Teaching without the people. Wow. Hallelujah. This is of God. Unity. I don't think that Paul is urging us to forget about anything that's important to us, but to take care of it. Take care of it. Don't get used to the cracks in the ceiling, on the walls. Take a trip down into the basement to see what can't be done. Go down in the basement and get it fixed. How often I need fixed. It wasn't very long ago I was standing here for prayer and just laughing. And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know. I feel so good and everything's going so well. It doesn't feel right. You've blessed so thoroughly. It's been so good. But every once in a while, I need fixed. And although you walk with God a long time, and although you're really on track, it's not that, you know, you took any kind of a hiatus, you did anything wrong. It's just human, being human. Humanity needs fixed. Humanity needs attention. And God comes in, and there's an irritant, there's a problem. And there's usually a couple of choices we have. Just ignore it or invite the Holy Spirit in. Say, God, whatever needs to happen here, you help me with that. Help us with that. Help us to get it fixed, not just plaster over it. We need to identify our unifying factors. Major on those and let everything else. That's why worship is so important whenever we come into the house. Gets our minds on Christ. This is why we're here. And if you're struggling during worship, that's a sign. Keep struggling till you get it right. Lord, I need to suspend everything else that's going on, especially if it's church stuff. This is going to sound stupid, I suppose, but Lord, please don't let church get in the way of my worship. Amen. Please don't let your body get in the way of my worship. May we develop the ability to come in and be unhitched from everything that's going on in order to be with him for a while. And when that happens, it helps everything else take care of itself. It helps us with the relationships and the checklist and all this and that. Sometimes we got to take some things off our checklist and say, you know what, it's just not my thing. It's not, God has not called me to do that. Or, you know what, I just need to love them from a distance. I've tried to help, but I can't fix their life for them. I just need to love them from where I'm at. Identify points of contention. Do what you can to keep unity in the body. Even if you have to build some fences around some things. You know what? I would like to, but I just can't. And I've seen people come to that conclusion among us. And I love that. That's growth. It feels foreign. It feels ungodly to say no. I can't do that. I'd love to. I would love to help you again, but I'm sorry. I just can't. Without a whole lot of explanation, well, you see, this is just, I'm sorry. By a show of hands, how many here are limited? You're limited. You don't have all the money in the world. You don't have all the time in the world. You don't have all the energy that maybe even you used to have. You're limited. And so you have to be strategic in the things you say yes to. And I know from time to time we have somebody, would you give me a job description? What they're asking for is, would you build me a fence that I can stay in there and I can feel good that I'm doing my job, but it feels like I'm doing everybody's job and it's killing me. I need to find my fence. And we're really bad at job descriptions around here and so on. But in your own heart and mind, you need to get with the Holy Spirit. Because He won't drive us nuts. The Holy Spirit won't, although I have accused Him of this a few times, but I found out it wasn't Him, it was me. He will not give us more than we can handle. It's usually me that got me in that fix. And you know the funny thing is, He usually expects me to get me out of that fix. Joel, here's how you need to back out of it. Well, I don't want to disappoint. Okay, then just stay where you're at. I can't do that. To be honest, to be loving, to be human, to care about one another, to not be the hero, to put your cape away. Identify those places that, you know what, this just isn't good. Paul put his finger on one in a couple chapters. He said, your love feasts. Oh, yeah, our love feasts. You like those, do you? No, I hate them. You got to shut them down. What? Shut down our love feasts? What kind of an apostle would ever tell the church, don't have love feasts? I mean, love feasts, we get together, we eat, we have communion, we have a wonderful time. He said, no, you don't. Some of you are getting drunk and stuffing yourselves, and other people are starving. How is that a love feast? I'll tell you what, if you're hungry, eat at home before you come to church. Woo! Yeah, that'll just solve a lot of issues right there. And the love feast, they weren't reaching anybody for Christ. They were not strengthening the body. People were going home angry. And they certainly weren't glorifying God. What about this is a love feast? Where's the love in your feast? And sometimes there are things in church somebody ought to just kill. You just ought to stop it. Hey, you've heard me say before, I love a good rut. I not only like daily ruts and weekly ruts. I can tell you what I'm going to be doing on Tuesday. I can tell you where I'm going to be on Friday. Because I got a pattern going and I like my ruts. I like yearly ruts where we can set our calendar and figure out what we had done last year, and let's do that again this year. We don't have to go to all the mind, you know, all right, well, what are we going to do now? And it's just, all right, we're going to do this. All right, good. Every once in a while, somebody comes in out of the woods and says, Pastor, you know what? That stunk for the last couple of years. Why would we do it again? Oh, man, got to kill another one. Okay, take it out back. Yeah. Boom. Oh, man. Talk about sacrifice, you know. But now we got to figure out something new to do. Oh, man, got to use my brain. Oh, how hard. If it's not reaching anyone for Christ, if it's not strengthening the body, if it's not glorifying God, it doesn't belong in the church. Maybe it did for a little while because it did those things. But this is why we exist. We don't exist just so the pastor can have a convenient calendar. I hate to say those words even. But to keep getting back to the main thing, let the main thing be the main thing. Why are we here this morning? To glorify our God and our Savior. Hallelujah, He is worthy. To build up the body of saints together, that we're a little stronger for this week. Maybe I confess what I did wrong last week, but this week's going to be good. I heard something in the Word that was just for me. And to win the lost. When was the last time you challenged somebody else with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Think about the diversity that was the church in Corinth. Different nationalities. And we're talking a time in history when nationalities were everything. You knew your people group. In America today, we're pretty much Heinz 57. There's a racial thing that still needs to be worked out, of course, and so on. But there it was, you knew where you were from. You knew who your great-grandparents were, your ancestry. And these different nationalities are coming together. Different personalities. Different classes of people. We don't even know about the class system, but there in Corinth, they had two or three slaves for every free person in that city. So they had a class that you're a slave, you're a free person. And in those days, they didn't build 20 churches in the same town and say, figure out where you're comfortable and just go there. Oh, you're a slave? We got a slave church over here. Oh, you're an Italian nobleman? We got an Italian nobleman church over here. Oh, you're from Gaul? We got the Gaul church over there. They got a lot of Gaul over there in that church. Yeah. They didn't do that. Paul said, one church, one body. You accept Jesus, you're in this family? I don't look like these people. We don't think alike. How is this going to work? One thing united them. What was that? Jesus. As minnows swimming in an ocean full of sharks, they needed one another. Everybody was against them. Their families were against them. Their society was against them. If they were going to make it at all, they had to make it together. Yet they needed to learn how to get along with people they previously would not have associated with. Before this, all their prejudices were intact and they were just fine. Before this, they could be snobbish, they could hold whatever. But now, if they came to Jesus at all, they had to give up all that other way of relating to people. They had to learn a whole new system of relating to other people. This is how we do it in church. The church is the only place where natural enemies converge to do a work together. None of us has a choice of who we will accept or love beyond obedience to Scripture. You know, somebody's being disobedient to the Scripture, we're commanded by God to discipline. But short of that, I can't choose my brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, Paul puts the members of the church under the strongest possible appeal he can make, that they do the necessary work to agree with one another, become perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, here's how we're going to do this so it's easy. Everybody's going to start agreeing with me no matter what I say. I could be wrong, but at least you'll agree with me and we'll be on the same page. All in favor, say aye. No, that's okay. No. It takes a team effort, a bunch of individual efforts to become a team together. We have to learn to give and to take and to love through it all and to accept everyone for who they are. Refuse to think in terms of us and them. There is only us. Be honest about differences of opinion. We do not have to agree on everything. It doesn't have to be fine with me, and that's fine with me. It doesn't have to be fine with me. I've been reading a book Generation Z, pastor of a church. They're in a strong growth pattern. They've trended younger every year over the last 10 years. Their congregation is getting younger, not older. That's against the history of church, actually. And they have a saying in their church. I'm still mulling it over myself, but I'll pass along what he said. He said, their saying is, it's not about you. So whenever anybody says, you know, I really don't like that new chorus, somebody will, with a smile, say, not about you. You know, I really don't like the new style of worship that we're doing. Not about you. You know, I really don't like the way we set up the foyer now with it. You know, it's not about you. And it's, you know, it's like kneading yeast into the dough. You know, kneading your dough together, getting the ingredients. You're kneading it together. You knead it together. It takes a while for a body to adopt a concept like that. That's not about me. I don't have to be happy about everything that goes on around here. Woo, good thing. Good thing. Would you say it after me? I don't have to be happy about everything that goes on around here. I don't have to be happy about everything that goes on around here. Woo, that's freeing. Because, see, one problem we Christians have is we think that if I feel it, God feels it. That God thinks just like I do. That God, it must be the Holy Spirit in me. Oh, has he proven to me time and time and time again? That's not always the case. Sometimes it's the case, and it will be affirmed, it'll be confirmed, but a lot of times it's just me. If I'm honest with you, there have been times I've been pretty upset about a thing or two, only to find out later, it really didn't. That was not God in me being upset. That was Joel being upset. And I don't know if you've noticed this about God. He seems to get a kick out of upsetting Joel. Yeah, he doesn't mind at all. It's not like he says, oh, Gabriel, we can't do that. Joel will be upset. He says, yeah, let's do that. Watch. Look at him. Okay. Now, wait till he comes back around and we'll explain things to him. He'll be a better man because of it, but, you know, anybody serve that God? He doesn't mind messing with you every once in a while. Be honest about disappointment. It's okay to grieve in a church. It's okay to miss something. It's okay, you know, it's not like it used to be. I love to do that with people as much as anybody. Do you remember when? We did that a little bit Wednesday night, you know. How life has changed between the time I was a young man and today. It's kind of nice to go down memory lane every once in a while. But not that the future has to be that way. And it's okay to grieve. You know, I really loved when the church used to do this. I date myself a little bit, but I kind of miss Sunday afternoon drives. You know the Sunday driver? You know where that came from? Back in the day, you didn't have television. You didn't have, or your channel was fuzzy that day. So you'd go home from church. You'd have a big meal. You have somebody over. Then you'd go for a drive as a family. And you would actually look out the window and enjoy the scenery. How barbaric, huh? That's who we were. There was no air conditioning in that car. You just rolled the windows down, you know. There was no restaurant to stop at. You just went wherever you wanted to go, and then you came back home. Gas was 21 cents a gallon. You could do that. And I kind of miss that. I wouldn't go back to it, but I kind of miss that, you know. We can grieve some things. Lend yourself to whatever needs to be done today. Okay, Lord, yesterday's gone. What can I do today? I said at the annual business meeting, Dave Mickley would probably be my MVP of the board. He's just involved in everything. But there was a Wednesday night. Our rainbow teacher couldn't make it because of family issues. So he was our rainbow teacher for the night. He didn't tell me that. You know, one of the people said, did you know that Dave was a rainbow teacher tonight? So we had a 6'4" rainbow teacher, you know, for the evening. Mel Storms, our worship leader, she teaches a preschool Sunday school class. You probably didn't know that. After she's done with the early service, she goes, teaches a class, depending on the rotation. And in fact, Dave, on my way out of church last Sunday morning, poor Dave, he looked a couple years older than he had earlier in the day. And he said, boy, the kids were really riled up today. He rotates into kids' church as a teacher from time to time. Angie Klein, if Angie takes on one more job around here, my theory that she's actually triplets will be proven true. And then we've got Josh and Andrea and Deb and Ariel and Sam and Dara, Bill, Tim, and it just on. Lots of good-hearted people around here, but not always a natural fit to work together. Got a good, hard-working board all the way around the table. Not always a natural fit. Naturally, we do have a fit every once in a while, but not always a natural fit. You don't want your kid, or you don't want to participate in a group that we have. Your choice. That's no problem. But if there's an issue that could be worked out that would make it a better group, that maybe you or your family would feel comfortable then after it was worked out, probably other people would feel more comfortable too. Probably be a better group if we were loving enough and we had the chutzpah to just talk to one another and say, you know what, I'd really love to see this happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, you know, but at least we put it out there and we can talk about it. How many people have left how many churches over issues that could have been worked out if we'd have talked about it? John Quinn likes to tell me that there are 160 churches within a 12-mile radius of East Berlin. Ha! There are 160 churches, 159, one did close the other week, I was told. 160 churches. I would venture to say that most of them probably have trouble getting enough support to keep the lights on and the doors open. Probably a lot of really tiny churches in all of that space. Wow. Let's love the body enough to get past our obstacles, objections, and personalities. I want you to be an advocate for you and your family's needs. I want to hear what you need. I want to hear if we're scratching an itch or if we're missing it. We need to hear these things. When you advocate for your family, you advocate for others. Let's talk to one another until we understand one another, until things get done. When we find differences between us, Ford versus Chevy, Honda versus Harley, Republican, Democrat, Cowboys, Steelers, Ravens, Redskins, Eagles. I tell my friends back home, some of my best friends are Ravens fans. They look at me like, that's not possible. That you can't. Driving through Pittsburgh is just an odd. You'll see old ladies. I preached there the last Sunday of last year. Old ladies came to church in black and gold. And they had Steelers scarves on. Because they were praying that not only would the Steelers beat the Bengals, but that the Browns would beat the Ravens. So the Steelers, we had people came to church that morning just praying for the Steelers. It's a different culture. But sometimes we have to build a fence. Say, you know what, we're just not going to go there. We're not going to make that an issue in the church. Amen. Maybe a little good-hearted humor here or there, but we are not going to let that separate us in the body of Christ, even if it's Republican, Democrat. Those topics don't help our mission. Keep it light, be careful. Everyone may have a different pet ministry they grew up with that just isn't getting the job done. And it just has to be put to sleep. decorating styles, music choices, dress codes. I've seen people have meltdowns over them all. I've had a few meltdowns myself. Is it essential? Does it have anything to do with our mission? Does it reach the lost? You and I need to get on the same page. We need to respect whoever is over us. Trust the changes that when they do come, they're of God. Please don't allow yourself to get hung up on liking the old pastor, the old pews, the old lights, the old parking lot lines. Let it go and embrace the new for the sake of the body and the mission. If you have some constructive criticism for me, I need to hear it even if I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it even if I don't want to hear it. If I'm going to get better, if we're going to get better, we need good-hearted people with good input. Hey, Pastor, I'm just going to leave this with you. I want you to consider this. Whatever you do is up to you, but I want you to hear this. I've noticed this. You know those commercials on TV where so-and-so has gone nose blind? Kid's in his room and he's got his socks laying on, and what it smells like is a dirty gym sock, but he's gone nose blind. Hey, sometimes we go church blind. We don't see, and it's hindering the work of the ministry. Help open our eyes. If we're going to be perfected in mind and thought, we need to spend some time together and make unity a priority. Not just service time. We need to figure out ways of getting together as a body. Outside of service time, couples, group, small groups, fellowships that we have, do what you can to make it to those kinds of things. Or invite other people over to your house and build the body of Christ that way. Ask God's help in learning how to love people that now irritate you. God loves them, and He'll show you how He does it. Stop avoiding and start seeking out people who have previously annoyed you. So if after this service you get an invite from somebody, maybe you annoy them. Accept the invitation. Take steps to understand and encourage those same people. I don't want to be the guy that's holding us back, do you? I don't want to have a bad attitude when I come into the house of worship. I want to be free. I want to be able to look everybody in the eye and let them know I love you. Would you stand with me this morning? Refiner's fire. Come visit me again.